pick a window. This is the Defenestrate Media Network.
You are about to listen to I Told You So, the world's greatest relationship podcast, hosted by Tiffany and Jeff, two people in the healthiest relationship of all time.
Join our power couple as we explore the ups and downs of love, offering you the tools you need to navigate the relationship scene with charm, humor, and grace.
Welcome to I Told You So, where love is our business.
And laughter is our secret weapon. Hi, friends, and welcome to I Told You So. I'm Tiffany. I'm here with my handsome husband, Jeff.
Me?
You!
Oh, all right. Hello. I am handsome.
You're very handsome.
Oh, horseshit.
Okay, I have a question for you to start off.
Okay, hit me with your question.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how sweet and kind and loving has my tone and delivery been the last couple weeks?
What? Explain the scale to me. 0 is good or bad? 10 is good or bad?
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I can go with 5 and just kind of put it right in the middle.
Is that the safe zone?
That's,
you feel safe there?
Nope, that's just balance. That's all I've got is balance.
0 being sweet, no tone.
Okay, 0.
No.
Yeah, sure.
Be honest.
Maybe a 3. I mean, I get where you're headed. I feel the direction that we are moving. Mm-hmm. And I understand where you're coming from. But what I know is that you are a lot harder on yourself than anybody else.
Well,
I'm not kidding. Look, have you had some tone lately? Yes.
And sass?
Yes.
And just plain meanness?
I try not to say sass, because you asked me not to a few years back. I don't think you've been mean.
Okay, good.
Per se. I think you... So, let's break this down. And this will actually transition really well into our first article.
Okay, good.
I am new to being honest about emotional shit.
Mm-hmm.
I still have a hard time with it. And when we talk about it, I still roll my eyes, even though I know better now.
Yeah.
You know, what was the Ted Lasso line? It was, you know, a healthy dose of Midwest skepticism, you know, general dislike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't, but when, and this is important, when I weigh what your last few months/years have been, the fact that you take so little tone is pretty impressive, because I believe that were I going through what you were going through, I think I'd be a little more whiny. My shoulder hurts today. Oh, you know, now it's excruciating. It feels like I'm on fire inside on my left shoulder.
Yeah.
It is a tremendous amount of pain. But when my wife is going through what she's been going through and has been doing it for so long and has been such a fucking champ about it, it's hard to voice what I'm going through.
That is a very mature take on that.
I am very mature. We're going to talk about that also in a minute.
It's still, and I appreciate that, I appreciate the way you come at that, because it makes it so much easier for me. But it does also, it doesn't stop me from, hurting you sometimes.
That's true, you know, but I don't think that you're doing it to do it.
So how do we work through that? When I have a tone and I mean, how do we get through that?
How have we got through it, or how should we get through it?
How have we?
I've been a little whiny about it.
Yeah. I don't think so.
I think so. I just, you know, I get a little short and I get a little defensive, and then you're like, what'd I do? because we're just not that way with each other.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's follows the line of trying to figure out a new way to introduce the show,
mm-hmm.
you know, is you went to Google to look for ideas and they were all shitty. Those ideas.
Okay.
Were they not?
Yes.
Do you have the list still? Can you get to it?
Okay.
Because that was an entertaining part of my morning, is you going
gosh.
Through some of the backfired from Gemini ideas that, frankly, were silly compared to us. But no, I don't hold a grudge with you on stuff, you know, which is new for me because I'm really good at that. Like the little fucking relationship app thing that we do
mm-hmm.
asked a question today
mm-hmm.
about, you know, regret. I should look that up because I don't want to get it wrong. And it was just not.
It doesn't feel like you could fairly answer it.
Sometimes I can't.
Yeah.
The question today, is it harder for you to forgive others or to forgive yourself? And I put others. Kinda. Shit.
I love those prompts. I mean, they're getting a little ridiculous. Like one the other day was, if your love was a constellation, what would it be?
And I believe my answer was, this is a stupid fucking question. I can't believe you asked it. And yours was something like, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you. And we can't see each other's answer until we've answered.
Yeah.
So that's been fun because a lot of our answers are eerily the same.
Quite eerily.
Yeah.
It's Jinx. You owe me a Coke.
Okay.
I mean, that's just how it is. But I don't know. Did you find the list?
No, it... No.
It didn't pop. Well, one of the questions was... you coming out the gate with on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you regret this marriage?
Oh yes, this week, how much do you regret being married to me?
I have no regrets being married to you, none at all.
And I think
have had none throughout.
Well, I think people take this as like a lighthearted joke because they have little scuffles or something during the week. I think that's normal.
Do we need to start having those?
No, but...
We've had a couple. I mean, we've bumped heads a couple times in the last, 10 years or so?
Yeah.
You know, and I have no regrets about you and I.
Yeah.
You know, about deciding to marry, about spending our lives together, about sharing the experiences that we're going through. I have regrets about how, you know... I'm not making any money right now. I have regrets about some of my chronic conditions that exist because of my life before you, where had I known I would have you in my future, I might have treated myself better than just expecting to not live through my 30s and living accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
And I really didn't. By the time I hit 40, I was pretty startled that I had made it that long. So now that I'm in my early 50s,
very early,
I am paying the consequences of the life that I lived before I was happy. And now that I'm happy, there are things that I feel hold me back from achieving full happiness. And those are consequentially based on decisions that I made, jobs that I've had, excursions that I've gone on, fights that I've been in, things like that, you know, things that have hurt me. Building that fucking apartment in the basement, which blew out my rotator cuff on my left arm, which just keeps getting worse because I can't afford to have it fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I have regrets. I have a lot of regrets, but I have no regrets about you. You know?
No,
so
that's...
Google can go fuck itself.
We don't even have like little scuffles. Are there like little things we disagree on and tease each other about? I mean, there are. I just can't think of any right now.
Well, you tease me a lot.
You tease me right back.
What? I've never.
Oh my God.
No. Not a thing. Not a thing at all. So you had an idea for the beginning of the show that I really liked. And that's a win and a loss. What's gone well this week? What maybe has fallen short?
Oh, yes.
Do you want to try that out?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. You want to go first?
Sure. Let me start with a win because I haven't really thought of a loss yet.
Okay, let's do that. Let's each do a win and then we'll each do a loss.
Should we? Okay. Next time we'll start on a loss and then we'll end with a win.
Okay.
But I don't have a loss yet. So anyway, to the win. This week we were able to get together at the park with our kids and celebrate a birthday, and we had all but our boys with us.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
It was nice.
Our moms were there.
I met a lovely unhoused person.
He was doing Tai Chi.
He was unhoused and crazy as a shitbird mouse.
Well,
you didn't talk to him. I did. he was in the restroom, the public restroom at the park, and was giving himself a sink shower.
That Tai Chi really got him sweaty.
Yeah. And I believe his wild gesticulations had nothing to do with martial arts.
Okay. Well, I was giving him the benefit of the doubt.
No, we talked for a couple of minutes, and I kept noticing throughout the morning that he was still over near the restroom area. So yes. The next time I went over to pee, I took a handful of change, which is all the money that I had with me, and gave him, you know, $4 or $5 in quarters.
Yeah.
You know, and just told him to go get something to eat if he could. He let me know that Chick-fil-A was closed. That's a regret.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Well, so, maybe that was the perfect day to give it to him.
Yeah. So, good win.
That was a win.
That was a win.
Okay. Loss.
Well, let me do a win. And then you can do loss. And then I'll do a loss.
What were you just talking about?
I was talking about your win.
Oh, we were still talking about me. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, you can have a turn now.
I have had a project in my head since last summer. An idea for a story that I'm turning into a teleplay. It's going to be 9 episodes for season 1. You know, it's got a nice overarching 9 episode storyline. It's got 3 mini 3 episode storylines that keep things moving forward. I like what I'm coming up with. I'm enjoying the process. I like to write.
Mm-hmm.
I do not like to sit down and outline and plan and do that. I just like to sit down and see what comes out, which is one of the reasons why I have thousands of pages of unfinished stories.
Yeah.
And I've been working with my youngest son to just helping him with his writing projects that he has for work.
Sure.
And it triggers an emotional state of wanting to keep going after the conversation's done. I love that he and I are bonding like this. I love that we're working stories together, that we're hitting beats, that we're having a good time. It is more difficult for me to use him as a resource in that.
Sure.
Because I can give him building blocks and then he can pour his experience into them.
Mm-hmm.
And what I need is somebody to bounce, you know, ideas off of and do story beats for things that he's never had to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm writing in the past. I'm nostalgically writing round about the end of the Cold War right now. And he's got no experience with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've got experience in bad relationships. I've got experience in human betrayal and things that he writes about. So I don't know. It's a win that both he and I are working together to help each other out on separate projects.
I love that.
And I would like to find something to actually write with him at some point. But no, as far as writing goes, I'm nowhere near being finished with anything, which is really frustrating me. It's really frustrating me. However, I am moving in a direction. I've got one project that will be done April 5th, 2027. That is when it is finished, you know? And I know that.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's when I'm done. I know that's when I write the last fucking chapter. I can't write it any faster than I'm writing it because it cannot end until April 5th, 2027. It cannot. So even on days when I am really flying, I have to stop at the chapter. I have to stop at the chapter because of the rules that I've given myself on this particular project. So working on a script for a TV show is more, there's a broadness to it that I'm really enjoying right now. And I haven't enjoyed that sort of thing in quite a while.
Oh, that makes me happy.
Yeah, me too. So what's your loss? Did you figure out a loss through the week?
It's more of a confession. It's a loss in my goals.
Is this about fantasy basketball?
No.
Oh, okay. All right, go ahead.
Okay. So here's the thing. Sometimes I get hungry at night. I fall asleep and then I get up and I try and find something to eat. And we have nothing to eat.
Tell me about your healthy choices that you make in the middle of the night.
So, this is what I did. I found brownie mix that I had actually... Anyway, so I found brownie mix.
Found it. Like magic, this brownie mix appeared in the house.
And I made some, and I didn't add eggs, so it wouldn't be bad for me. So, and then
you ate the brownie batter with a spoon, didn't you?
I did. And then I brought it up to upstairs, and I like quietly set it on my nightstand. And I'd have a spoonful, and then I'd watch my basketball game, and I'd have another spoonful. And I was like, "This is what heaven is. I swear to God, this is what heaven's going to be like for me."
So, heaven for you is uncooked brownies, women's basketball,
and my handsome husband laying beside me.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
That sounds like a win.
Anyway, this week, I shall do better.
Okay. All right. As to myself, I lost a friend this week. She passed away quite suddenly and very surprisingly. She was a good friend for a lot of years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time, you know, when we were way tighter than we are now, but we live in different states, and so we were active with each other on social media and had talked several times about trying to get together and introduce our spouses to one another.
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to marry them several years ago as their officiant. And without complaining or blaming the person whose fault it was that I couldn't make it down, and I was not told I couldn't make it down until the very last minute.
Oh,
and I had
no.
to call them days before their wedding and be like, I can't make it. I can't make it. There was money. There's no money now. You know, there's no way for me to get there. And have felt a huge amount of guilt. And I laid that guilt out because I'm an asshole, you know, onto her husband. And I was like, hey, man, I know that, you know, our first impressions were really shitty and I've really done nothing to make up for that. So, you know, just know that I'm available. If you need anything, you know, any of my time or talents belong to you, just let me know and all of that.
That was nice you did that.
He totally let me off the hook for missing the wedding, which was very kind of him in a time when, you know, he had no need to be kind. You know, he's suffering right now.
Yeah.
And as sad as I am, I know it's not a hundredth of what he's feeling, you know. So yeah, I lost a friend this week, and that was, I guess maybe just the week before, but yeah. I'm still dwelling on it.
I'm sorry.
Me too.
That really was hard news to get.
And it was so sudden and timed so oddly, you know, I mean, there's never a good time.
Right. It always feels it like the most random, crazy time.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. So Gen X, which is what I am, that is the antique in which you have invested.
Yes. I love a good Gen Xer.
Is the forgotten generation. But over here on the Huffington Post, Gen Xers are starting into therapy. I am not a unique flower. I am a cliche of my generation in which I've hit my midlife. I can't afford a crisis. So maybe I should start talking to a specialist.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been working on. From the article, mental health wasn't exactly a dinner table topic in the 70s and 80s. Apart from like a Woody Allen film or something. This was back before we knew that he was disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kind of urbane circle movies, the depiction of therapy in TV and that was given to us as unmasculine.
Right.
And being masculine was so important growing up that it's hard to break through those walls that you've had since childhood.
Yeah, the stigma behind it is.
Yeah. And so quoting from the article, and this is from Tracy Douglas. She's a therapist in Wisconsin who specializes in Gen X clients. She says therapy wasn't seen as a proactive tool for healing and growth so much as it was an absolute last resort to turn to. Because of that, many Gen Xers still have a sense that they should be able to muscle through any troubles on their own. Have I ever been like that?
No. You? Never.
Sarcasm noted.
Yes, you are like that.
For some Gen Xers, putting off experiences with quirky 70s and 80s era therapists or ones who felt overly performative have made them quite hesitant to go back. Now, the first time I saw a therapist, I was 11 or 12 years old. It was right before my parents split.
Okay.
And this is the guy that diagnosed my ADD.
Mm-hmm.
That's how long I've had it. Pre-dial-up. Attention deficit disorder. And the same therapist interviewed my sister and my brother. And I won't go into a lot of details about this because it's family history and one of my parents has now passed. And there's no use just taking swings at something that 12-year-old me was mad at the time. But a series of questions was asked of the children. And then in court, the therapist lied. He said the opposite of what we had all said. And that was it for me. I was done. I'm like, fuck therapists.
Yeah.
They're a bunch of lying assholes. You know, what would be the point? Do I care? I do not care. And so I dealt with my ADD the way most of us did at the time. Before my parents split, I was on Ritalin. Hated it. After my parents split, I just muscled through my attention deficit disorder and just didn't really worry about it. I just was a weird kid. Mm-hmm. I was a little hyper. What was it teachers always say? You know, very smart, does not apply himself. Class disruption. You're
too smart.
At the time.
Too smart.
At the time. So Gen Xers are discovering therapy, you know, and there's some things that they're bringing up more than other folks are bringing up. One of the first ones mentioned in the article is they have chronic stress with no blueprint for asking for help. I'm horrible at it.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been horrible at it. And it's usually because when I do ask for help, it often ends up biting me in the ass. That fucking campaign in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
When people are just like, you're doing too much. You need to delegate. So I delegated and I got fucked hard by the people that I delegated to because they wanted a different direction than I did. I wanted to run a campaign and try to win it. They wanted to take the data we were collecting and start a business at the end, spending ad money on data collection so they would have a better egg to begin their new business with. I'm like, that's not why I'm here. I'm here to run a campaign. I'm going to run a campaign.
Right.
So the little fucker stabbed me in the back. threw a little sabotage at me, spread some rumors, and moved on with their lives. And the one fucking guy I wanted to get back at died before I could get my revenge and clear my name. Don't ask for help. Help's hard. I don't know what you're laughing about.
I don't know. I did not know where we were going with this story. And then you said, asking for help is hard. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that brings it full circle.
I can get back to it from time to time. I'm not on anything. They're questioning long-term marriages and relationships. Now, this one, I personally don't understand. I wish you and I had more years together behind us. I really do. It's not a regret because it was impossible because of our fucking age gap, but I do. I wish we'd met 10 years earlier than that.
Yeah.
And run off with each other. I've been just stupid happy being married to you.
Yeah. They have been great years. I just think of the ones ahead of us that I wish we'll have more than we have, than we'll get, you know?
I do too. I want to live to a ripe old age with you. I just worry about how much damage I've done to myself in the years before I knew you existed.
How ripe are we talking about?
I was thinking 80.
Okay.
You know, 90 seems completely unfathomable considering how many years I smoked. I don't think I'll make it to, I think mid-70s to mid-80s. I think I got another 20 years in me.
You better have more than that.
I'll try. I'll give it a shot. I just don't know. Like I said, it's how many TBIs have I had?
Yeah.
You know, when does that, if it hasn't already and I'm just unaware of it, when does that come back to bite us in the ass?
Well, the thing is, it doesn't even have to have anything to do with health. It just can be just shitty luck.
Yeah.
Or shitty, just a shitty thing happens.
Well, if I didn't have bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all.
Oh, there's a quote we heard in the Wrexham episode.
The cleaning lady.
So funny. Yeah.
Do you have it or do you want me to do it?
Well, I have it. You can do it, but I just didn't know if it was, that inappropriate?
This is this show. There's no inappropriate. She was just talking about having bad luck.
Such bad luck.
When she finally went and saw a Wrexham game in all of the 10,000 seats, she ended up sitting next to her ex-husband. And she says, that's just my luck. I could fall into a well of pricks and
cocks.
come up sucking my own thumb.
Yeah. That makes me so happy. I love that. Lucky.
So when we're talking about Gen X and we're talking about people of my age group, they're choosing peace and ease by releasing themselves from the responsibilities of mental and emotional labor that have long been taken for granted. Men are hitting a wall where being stoic and staying at a remove doesn't work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I got to. I don't spend a lot of time anymore complaining about my previous marriage, but I was absolutely a complicit partner in its being bad. You know?
Yeah.
That's all. Emotionally unavailable, stoic, just, I don't know, hanging on to emotions or feelings or reactions because you knew that they would have a negative consequence. Making shit up to try and avoid the inevitable arguments kind of stuff. It was hard,
yeah.
You know, and that's how I behaved, and that was stupid. You know, I get it. We're still incompatible. Absolutely incompatible.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do. My favorite one on the list, they're burned out. I have been doing grind culture since before it had a name. You know, it's, you go back when I was working for the Democrats, you know, those were 15, 16 hour days. And I had wonderful insurance that I didn't use because I was too busy being at work during doctor hours.
Oh, tell me about it. Yeah. I had a similar situation on a campaign. I couldn't get my tonsils out.
Well, that was different. This was me doing it to myself. That was you being punished by a shitty person.
Yeah, but you're right. Like, it is hard to...
Oh, you have tonsillitis? Can you wait till after the campaign to deal with that? No!
It's 90% closed.
But yeah, Gen X has collective strength and grit, but without self-care and community care, burnout sets in, says Jessica Fruchter, a marriage and family therapist in Oakland, California. When clients show up in her office, they're often exhausted from white-knuckling through it all. Quote, at this point in midlife, many of them are both caregivers to kids and aging parents. They also have careers, relationships, and a long list of other responsibilities.
That exactly. I was just thinking, like, I had read an article about Gen Xers being like the worst grandparents because they're not taking the time to like raise and help raise their grandkids. They're spending more time doing their own thing as well. Interesting. I don't think that's wrong.
I came here for a chit chat and now I feel completely attacked.
Why?
Because I'm a shitty grandparent apparently.
No, I just said, like, as a whole, they just are.
They're probably at work and their kids probably live in the house.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Because the
It's just different.
Yeah, the one thing I wanted to point out as I bitch about being Gen X and our problems is that the problems of the younger generations are more severe.
Mm-hmm.
And while I applaud young people's ability to deal with emotion and in trauma openly and honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a part of me that's like, well, boy, how would my life have been had I been able or allowed by society to deal with how I felt about things as opposed to being told to rub some dirt on it and walk mm-hmm. it off? Yeah. You know, I mean, it goes back to early childhood when I would bitch about my back to my mother. It hurts. My back hurts. There's something wrong with my back. Constant. You're too young for back problems. You know,
mm-hmm.
for years, you're too young. You're making it up. You're too young. You're a liar. You're too young. Shut up. After the divorce, Dad took me to a doctor who took a long look at my back and he's like, oh, this is pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
You're not in great shape, sport. And there's nothing we can do about it except for fusing all your discs together, which will then take these things out of your life. Breaking my neck in 94. Can't get my neck fused or I won't be able to turn my head. I'll be like Michael Keaton's Batman. And I'll deal with neck pain to be able to turn and look at you because that's worth it. Just saying.
Aww.
But yeah, burnout's real. When everything blew up in 2016, I was so fucking tired of working so fucking hard mm-hmm. for so fucking little that I let burnout just eat me alive,
mm-hmm.
you know, and could not find a way to fight myself out. It is now 10 years later in 2026 when I am in 2025. I've been trying, I guess I about March of last year, I'm just like, I have got to get my head out of my ass. I've got to move forward. I've got to fight. And instead, what I ended up with was a job market that does not care for me right now,
mm-hmm.
especially my age. So my burnout, I'm burned out of my burnout.
Yeah,
I got a double burnout is what's going on. They're waiting for their adult children to grow up. Many Gen Xers struggle with moving out of the parenting stage of their lives. This is from Kurt Smith, a therapist in Roseville, California, who specializes in counseling men. It's not uncommon for adult children in their 30s and 40s to be living back at home. Quote, this can occur for understandable reasons, but some adult children never leave when they come back, or, you know, they don't have a plan or a desire to do so. Their Gen X parents end up struggling to distinguish between whether they're loving and enabling or enabling them. And this is a problem that parents of previous generations did not have.
Oh, God. This is going to be my problem.
What's that?
This situation.
I don't mind having the kids here.
I have. Well, no, it's not even that. I just have a really hard time. Like, I feel like I'm still a kid and I need my mom. Like, my mom's waiting for me to grow up. She's like still is still waiting, you know, just the way that I need her. And so, like, my kids, it's hard to make that transition, I think, knowing what to share, what not to share. I don't know. It's an interesting place to be for me.
Well, and it's different to look at the relationship that you have, you know, with your moms versus my relationship with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
Dad meant a lot to me because we could be nostalgic with one another. I think that's the point that our relationship was a lot of just telling each other stories of both what was happening now and what had happened in the past. And, hey, I remembered this. Isn't this great? And he was a solid foundation for me to attach myself to via memory. And, you know, with my mother, we don't talk about the past because our personal histories together are troubled.
Mm.
And, you know, we don't really talk about the future. We talk about right now. And that relationship that you guys have, you know, that I believe is very healthy, if sometimes frustrating, you know, is something that I wish that I had had with a parent,
mm-hmm.
to where we could go to each other when we were having issues as opposed to dancing around the outside of them.
Yeah.
Because we're so masculine. Boo.
Yeah.
Gen X women are going through menopause.
We have been.
Yeah. When it comes to being transparent about perimenopause or menopause, Gen X women are pattern breakers. Earlier generations rarely spoke out about how challenging the developmental stage actually is and what a toll it can take on mental health. Between hormonal shifts, identity shifts, and difficult physical symptoms, Gen X women seek out a space for support. All for this.
Yes.
I think it's great. There was a dude. I'm going to go ahead and praise the patriarchy for a minute.
Okay. But there
was
a, I'll allow it.
You remember this. It was, I think he was on the TikTok.
Yeah.
It was about a year or so ago. And it was a 5-minute speech or so that he did about perimenopause and menopause and why it was important for men to get their shit together to be supportive and emotionally available because of, and then 3-minute rant of all of the reasons why men needed to be better to help support women in this particular transition.
Well, he explained further what was happening in their bodies.
Yeah.
What's happening emotionally and physically and all these changes and what that looks like and what that means. So, yeah, I thought that was very good. There's been a lot of them. Maybe my algorithm started picking those up. And I'm like, it's all perimenopause. I got to get off it.
Yeah, all my algorithms right now are LGBTQ.
Sure.
Rights and stuff.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty vocal about that.
Yes.
Arsenal.
Of course.
Got a lot of Arsenal going on my timeline right now. And comic books and politics. Always say politics.
Yeah, politics.
Always politics.
I had a lot of WNBA stuff on mine.
Yeah. They're anxious over money. You think?
Yeah, right.
Am I? Why could I be anxious about something I don't have any of? That's the question. But yeah, Gen X is currently being flattened by an unprecedented sandwich squeeze, having to deal with the financial and emotional burden of supporting their aging parents and children who may not have taken flight financially speaking. A lot of Gen Xers find themselves worried about how to fund the launch of young adult children. I do constantly.
Yeah.
I can't help them financially. I don't have it.
I know.
And I know, as I have said many times, $5,000 in my hand right now would feel like generational wealth. Mm-hmm. It would dig us out of almost every hole that we're in, you know, and leave a little as a cushion while I'm still looking for work. $5,000 would save our fucking lives right now, right? $5,000 would save my kids' lives right now. Mm-hmm. They would be able to grow and develop and move in directions that they want to move for their lives. And if I had it, I'd give it, but I don't have it, so I can't give it, and I don't have it. So, it's the little, my kids are hesitant to ask me for $10 for gas. Mm-hmm. That breaks my heart.
Yeah.
Especially when I have to say no.
I know.
I'm like, I can offer you $4.30.
I have a daughter in school, and she's really struggling, and she's trying to give plasma, but she's sick, and so it's just, and I can't help her. I can't do anything. I listen to her, you know, and she's so stressed and doesn't know how she's going to do it, and I have no solutions.
None. That being the other thing, finding out I can't do plasma for money because I have an iron deficiency.
Mm.
That's a hell of a way to find out a thing.
That's how, like, I found out.
I'll go trying to give plasma.
Not just blood.
Yeah. No, I was trying to make some money. So I woke up early in the morning, went over to the plasma center, went through the intake protocols, mm-hmm. and they're like, your iron's fucked up. And I was like, what do I do? And they're like, take supplements for a week. So I did. And I went back, and they're like, your iron's fucked up. And I was like, I took the supplements, and they're like, talk to your doctor. Because you, sir, have a problem. And so I've been taking iron supplements now for, what, 4 months, 3 months?
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I take them in the morning with my pills. That's the other thing. I got pills. They have unprocessed early childhood wounds showing up in midlife. Yeah, I do.
Go
ahead. Well, you probably do too.
I probably do.
I mean, just thinking back on it, I could see some trauma.
Yeah, and I always heard, like, if you don't deal with it now, it comes out in your 30s and your 40s. And that just seems so, so far away and seemed like it wouldn't even be an issue by then, you know? It would all just be fine. It was not a thing.
I don't have to deal with not being allowed to go to the Britney Spears concert because Britney Spears won't even be a headline when I'm older. As an example. Just random.
Sure.
But I mean, that's, yeah, I think back to my childhood and it's like, my parents weren't negligent. They were just like other parents at the time. Mm-hmm. They were busy and they had kids for, as far as I'm concerned, religious reasons.
Yeah.
You know, and that was kind of it. We were there to perform chores, to do well in school, to be quiet and unassuming, to speak when spoken to and at no other time. I mean, there were conditions on behavior, and if you followed through on those conditions from time to time, a happy thing would happen, you know?
And that's all, I think, cultural and religious, that perception. I think I felt that back when I was younger as well.
Because my dad liked us. He liked his kids. I mean, both my parents love me. I have no doubt of that. You know, but Dad liked us. And he liked us as kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that was different than a lot of the other kids' dads.
Mm.
So, you know, when faced with being single or having your teenage ADD machine, your little hyperactive monster moving with you because he keeps running away from home, my dad chose to take me and fought to try and get the other kids. You know, he just really liked his kids. Mm-hmm. And that was rare. So, you know,
it is rare. Your dad liked you?
He did.
Lucky.
I know. It's nuts, huh? I just gave myself the sads. I'm looking for this shoulder brace that I cannot find anywhere. And I came across a birthday card from Dad from a couple years back. You know, yeah. And it just said, I love and I miss you, Dad. And I'm like, I've got unresolved issues.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for this article. And we've gone a little long. Let's take a break and we'll come back on the other side with something different.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. Hey, folks. Jeff here. So you want to start a podcast? Maybe you already did and it's just not going the way you thought it would. Well, here's the truth. It's not about the mic, it's not about the software, and it's definitely not just about posting episodes. It's about building a show that people care about. That's why I created the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy. It isn't theory and it isn't fluff. It's a step-by-step breakdown of what actually works. Choosing a name, choosing a topic, building your structure, growing an audience, trying to turn your podcast into a brand, and maybe even a business. If you're serious about podcasting, this is a good place to start. And if you're just tired of guessing, this is how you stop. Check out the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy and build something worth listening to. You can find more information at theleftshow.com.
What are we doing today?
That is an important question.
So this is the part where we ask for money?
This is the part where we ask for money.
I hate this part.
I hate it too. You know, if we had billionaire funding, we wouldn't have to do this.
But independent media matters, and it only works if people fund it. Where's George Soros when you need him?
If you support independent media, like The Left Show, we'll keep doing the work. No corporate sponsors, no censorship.
All the cool kids are doing it.
Pop over to theleftshow.com and make a statement about how you won't be led astray by bought and paid for media. With your donation today, theleftshow.com. There was a bit at the end of the article I was planning on reading, but we went a little long and I kind of panicked and ran to commercial,
okay.
Which is what I do. What the therapist said, what he wants most people to understand about Gen X in therapy is that beneath all of the self-sufficiency is a generation that was never given permission to need. For people who spent their whole life keeping it together with very little support, it's pretty profound to feel safe enough to be known by another person. Whether that be a spouse, a friend, you know, or a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do. I mean, I understand a lot of these, and the only one that I disagree with is the longevity. You know, I mean, Christ, I do the comic book podcast with a buddy that I've known since 1986, you know?
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, and I have other friends that I've had almost that long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jake and I met in the early 90s, and we're still buddies. We just had a great little chat the other day.
Aww.
Out of nowhere.
I love it.
I just sent him a quick text. It was like, sup? He's like, nothing. You? And I'm like, no, everything's great.
You still need to text him at night. You need to tonight and just say, good night. Hope you had a good day. Good night. Or call him and tell him good night.
I'll think about it. I'll give it a shot. So, 17 silly house rules. Found this one, cannot for the life of me remember where. That couples made as a joke that worked so well that they keep using them. So somewhere in this, there might be some direction for us. There might be some direction for you. Not you.
Not
you,
me.
You, the listener. You, the listener. I'm gesticulating right now, which always works well in an audio format.
Yeah.
First one, safe word. Bananas. My immediate family is chaotic and we talk a lot and sometimes we talk over each other at gatherings. I'm used to it. He wasn't. So we agreed that we'd have a safe word of bananas. He used it a few times at the beginning. He'd just whisper it in my ear and get up from the chaotic table and walk outside. Over the last 15 years, it has evolved that bananas is now just our everyday safe word for when you want to be taken seriously. So it's like Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday, Bob. I once ordered a birthday cake for my wife and asked for happy birthday, Mom, to be written on it. I picked it up. I didn't look at it. And on revealing it to the family, it said, happy birthday, Bob. No other inscription is ever allowed for her birthday cake 15 years later.
Cute. I love traditions like that. That's so fun.
Yep. The pet chooses who does chores. If the dog has chosen you and sits in your lap, you were released of all responsibilities and the other partner must get you whatever you want or need while the dog is in your lap. It's like a king for a day, except it usually maxes out at about 30 minutes because dogs don't sit still that long. You're right. Love that one.
I think that works with kids too, or babies, for sure.
Yep. Rock, paper, scissors.
Yes.
Hey, it's time to do the dishes.
Oh.
Who's doing them?
God.
You know?
Yeah. Yep. Scissors.
Yeah. Matching undies. Matching undies Mondays or Fridays.
I want to do this.
With the me undies?
Me undies.
Okay.
They have cool ones. I'll let you pick them out.
Okay. They've got some Star Wars ones that are pretty cool.
They have space. Yeah, I was going to say they have space ones.
Space ones. Space undies. It'll be like my underoos days.
Yeah.
Did you guys have underoos when you were a kid?
My brothers did.
Okay. There were Wonder Woman underoos, as long as you're being heteronormative about it.
No, I didn't have any special kind of
rude
undies.
You should unpack that in therapy.
Should I go to therapy?
Yeah. Because that was the problem with underoos was that it was a cool ass t-shirt. You know, you didn't want to run around in your underpants because you're not an idiot. But the undershirt was the big logo of your superhero or whatever.
Oh.
And I just wanted to wear that as a shirt. And I was like, you can't wear that as a shirt. That's an undershirt. And I'm like, it's just technically an undershirt because you make me wear it under. I could wear it over and it would just be a shirt. You know, a smaller, more often version of the having to wear a coat over the top of your Halloween costume.
Oh, yeah, that sucked.
Let me freeze to death. I'm dressed as Batman. Batman doesn't wear a fucking parka.
With those goddamn plastic masks.
It is always the pet who farted.
Right.
We are unfortunately petless.
We are. And this doesn't really happen to us.
And as early as today.
Okay. I wasn't going to say that.
I could have used a pet, is all I'm saying.
Oh.
Orange hat. Do not disturb. I don't have an orange hat. I have a light up sign.
Yeah.
Outside the office door that nobody pays any fucking attention to at all.
No.
No. But if it's red, go away. If it's blue, please knock before you come in. If it's green, in or out, doesn't matter. If it's off, I don't care.
Okay.
But I have been interrupted by everyone that lives here and people that don't live here while my red sign's on, even though I put a legend underneath it so you would understand what the colors mean.
No one looks at that.
I know. I know. So apparently I need an orange hat. Nightly tuck-ins. Oh, that's sweet. I always go to bed a couple hours before my husband to make sure we end the day, my day, together. He always tucks me in, gives me a good night kiss, and we end with something happy. It started as a joke, but we both realized it was such a good way to end the day and stay in sync. He's done this every single day over the last 5 years.
We do this.
I like this one. No bad mouthing the cars. We don't talk shit about our cars where they can hear us.
That's fair.
I will not have a negative word spoken about my Mazda.
No.
I love Mr. Truck.
I know you do.
I do. It is my second favorite car of all time.
Mm.
You know? And they're going to take it away soon if I don't figure something out.
I do love that car. It's nice.
I do too. Popsicles are a shared treat only.
Disagree.
No. Hard disagree.
Yeah.
Yep.
No.
Yeah, I mean, we can eat them at the same time. That's fine.
I think that's what it really says, is that they come evenly. So if one person has one, then there's an odd one. So you got to eat them at the same time.
Okay, I'll go with that one. Always say, I love you. Doesn't matter if you're mad. Doesn't matter if you're happy. Doesn't matter if things are going great or going poorly. If you walk out, you say, I love you.
Have you been like this before?
Nope.
This is a thing that I somebody brought this up, and I say it constantly to everybody, anytime anyone walks out of the room. But I've done it with my kids, I guess. That's just what I've done, but I never noticed that I've done it. Like, do I do it too much? Is it like overly stated?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. You know what? There's several more of these. I'm going to go ahead and carry them over to Patreon.
Okay.
So that we can talk over there. But no, I don't. I've never felt, I mean, we do it a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I don't go to the bathroom and leave the room to go to the bathroom without telling you that I love you.
No, I don't either.
Yeah. The only time I don't is if I think you're asleep. Mm. And even then, I'll whisper it just in case you're not asleep. Because sometimes you have headaches and you close your eyes. You know?
Yeah.
So this morning, I left the bedroom at about 4:15. Excuse me, I have the hiccups. And went downstairs to get myself a cup of coffee, and you were out. You know, you were well and truly out.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't tell anybody how I can prove it, but I could.
Oh, my God.
And you were snoring. And it would be cute. You,
sure.
No,
yeah.
Your snoring is adorable.
I love it.
It's just little. Oh, it's so cute. Okay. And so I did. On my way out the door, I was like, I love you.
Aww.
You know, and quietly pulled the door shut behind me and left.
I just stare at you.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
That's creepy and weird.
I know. And then you open your eyes and then you say, why are you staring at me? I say, because I love you.
I've been doing that to you lately, too. It is. Well, okay. What we're going to do is go ahead and call this a show. And then we're going to go over to Patreon, patreon.com/defendmedia, D-E-F-E-N media. Where every week that we record, we put special content over on the Patreon for you, our Patreon platoon. It's the only fundraising that we do. I get nervous about corporate sponsorships.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do small business.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't spend near enough time trying to find sponsors. Because I'm busy trying to find work.
Right.
So, you know, Patreon is the way that we pay for our hosting. And I would like to say it's how we pay for replacement gear and shit like that. But the truth is we don't bring in enough in Patreon at this point, which would be nice. So join us over there. It helps all of the shows. The Comic Book Podcast, I Told You So, Gen Zex and The Left Show. Just stay broadcasting. Just stay on the air. So if you can help us out, pop over to patreon.com/defendmedia. Join the gang. It's where the cool kids go.
Yeah, it is.
With that said, I love you.
I love you. And friends, I love all of you too.
And it was the dog.
Totally.
Totally the dog.